from the prophet Isaiah. Those the Lord has ransomed shall return, everlasting joy on their faces. Joy and gladness will go with them, sorrow and lament will be no more. The Lord will give you a sign. It is this: the maiden is with child and will soon give birth to a son, whom she will call Emmanuel, a name which means God is with us. Help me here, please. Have I got it all wrong? Can you set me on the road to understanding? Allow me to explain why I am puzzled. We have listened to a stunning text from 2nd Isaiah, a prophet, incidentally, who was contemporary with both Confucius and Buddha. In an important moment, as the text reaches its culmination, he writes, "These the Lord has ransomed shall return, everlasting joy on their faces. Joy and gladness will go with them, sorrow and lament will be no more." These are words set recently by Johannes Brahms, recently, I mean in biblical terms, in the late 19th century, as part of his Ein Deutsches Requiem. The preacher, on these Sundays of Advent, is dressed in a shade of purple, which is also, mind you, the colour chosen for most Catholic funerals. And the Advent wreath is bedecked with candles. Three of these are deep purple, one is rose, and the one we will light on Tuesday is white, a sign surely of resurrection. That's the crux of my dilemma. The readings and the lights seem to justify the way I'm thinking. And yet, all around me, people are talking of angels and shepherds and the birth of Mary's first child. Shortly after that event, enchanting magi are remembered as having travelled from the east. In a memorable quotation from T.S. Eliot, one of these magi is also puzzled and asks the others, "Were we led all that way for birth or death? There was a birth, certainly, we had evidence and no doubt. I have seen birth and death, but had thought they were different." Not for the first time, perhaps, Sebastian Bach can be my sat-nav, my guide on the road. In the first of the six cantatas that make up his Christmas oratorio, Bach reaches the first chorale to be sung by choir and congregation. The words are, "How shall I receive thee, and how encounter thee?" All Bach needs to do is to choose from the many hymn tunes available to him and pick one for these powerful words before the Christmas crib. What tune does he pick? The Good Friday hymn tune, to which we sing the words, "O sacred head, surrounded by crown of piercing thorn." Is this like an April cloud coming to block out the twinkling stars over Bethlehem? Or more likely, it is Bach, the theologian and musician, shedding important light over the dark stable in Palestine. The crucial question is, what has this child come for? As the infant stretches out arms to his mother and cries for her support, it reminds us and fellow disciples like Bach of that day less than 40 years later when he would again stretch out his arms and they would be tied to a wooden stake. A day when he would shed his blood, and that blood would then congeal and grow cold. Once he has cried out again, but in utter agony this time, and horror, Eloi, Eloi, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When the echo dies down, he is buried in someone else's tomb. So from the population census into which he was born in Bethlehem, there now is a new population count from the police. One prisoner fewer to guard tonight. I say all this because even when our fancy seasonal cards remind us of Bethlehem, each Eucharist, including the Christmas Mass, is done always and consistently in memory of his death and of the benefit we reap from that death. The Word of God could not be held silent in a tomb for long, basically. As we have heard, so we now preach. Rising, he restored our life. So what is it then, birth or death? What was it that died that night in Bethlehem? Was it perhaps the image of God as distant, who could not bawl his lungs out? Certainly the Magi returned to their kingdoms no longer at ease. They went back, in Eliot's words, to an alien people who kept clutching their little gods. To a people perhaps who had alienated itself for a while but deliberately from the rock that nourished their religious and social life for generations. To a people perhaps who now chose to turn up their noses at every mention of religion. Perhaps the Magi returned to a people like one I know, where people's enjoyable recreation can be deadly, I mean fatal, because of the potions of drugs and drink that are taken and mixed. For heaven's sake, even farm animals are more careful before eating anything set before them or allowing it in. Perhaps this is also a people lacking in true self-confidence and hope. Pope Benedict is right in this, I'm sure, from my own life and from my ministry. Hope is contagious, but each of us needs to catch hope first, and it's in the company of Christ we catch it. So if it was death as well as birth, what was it that died? What needs to die still? If we continue to choose life with Christ and all that entails, it will mean leaving behind part of what we knew, something perhaps of recent months or weeks that was unworthy of a disciple's life. What Eliot calls the night fire may still need to be extinguished for Christ's sake. Winter kills at year's end. If we can kill what was sinful, leave it for dead and move on, we will echo the sentiment of Eliot's Magus. I should be glad of another death.